this is Christopher Guest.
Well, I want to thank everybody for coming, giving up your lunch hours and all that, and Lord knows, very exciting for all of us.
And Eugene?
Happy to be here.
Levy.
Absolutely, and let's just get our hands right
into
it. Who wants to start us
off? I'll be happy to start.
You know what? Gwen, why don't you start us off?
Okay.
This is the town of Blaine in the movie, but it was actually Lockhart, Texas, which was outside of Austin. And that is the town hall.
We're going to take the porta potties and put them right over here. They're not going to be in the way.
We're going to put a receptacle over near Arts and Crafts.
These are the big bins you're talking about?
Yeah.
We've got barrels, too. And we're going to put the barrels on every corner.
Wait a minute, that's the crate?
Oh, that's the big barrel.
That's
the big barrel because you've got the pie eating going on right over here.
There's always a hope that I could do a film with using railroad people and models. And I got to do it with this. Any excuse for me.
A man with a rifle here and rifle here.
And was this the first day?
No, it was not the first day.
Absolutely.
What can I tell you? We're pleased as punch. We are so proud. We know that whatever we do here is a first for Blaine and a first for Missouri.
And this is the first time I worked with Larry Miller, who I've worked with several times subsequently, and he's very, very funny, but he's also very convincing as Mr. Middle America.
With hard work.
And in this film, he's the mayor. And
well, nobody can wear a short sleeve shirt.
Like Larry?
Like Larry.
No. And we're very Except Don, right here. That the world knows more about Blaine. Apparently.
We're chomping at the bit, certainly, from this
Don area. Lake.
It all started.
Well, so far, I'd kill to see a good head of hair in this movie. Settlers
to lead a wagon train expedition from Philadelphia to California.
We don't know where that painting went. I'd love to know where that oil painting went that was commissioned for the film.
Did you smell it?
Maybe it's on eBay. I have this one in my possession.
California. And so there was a big party that night, and next morning they got up. They didn't see the ocean because they were in Missouri. Blaine was able to convince them for a little while.
When we started writing this, do you remember how much time we spent in the detail of the journal of Blaine Fabian?
Yes. Well, that was very important, actually, to get the exact chronology of the trek that Blaine Fabian led these people on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I think the idea that...
did my parents and their
that they never made it, that they, but they, that, so that so Blaine actually tried to convince them that it was low tide, he said. They were, I think they were
had to convince them they hit the Pacific.
Yeah.
And of course, there was no water, so he said the tide was out, and they bought it.
Yeah.
It's the kind of information that, you know, when you're building a feature film around, you think, what do you think? Will it fly?
Mm-hmm.
I had been living in New York and working there as an actor and director and choreographer for 25 years or so. And I really
these are some of the shows Corky did on the wall. They were we spent a lot of time thinking of the names of these off-Broadway shows that he would have done.
Perhaps a construction worker or one of those...
number of people asked me after the film. They said, so you had to get a really kind of a weird haircut for that movie. Couldn't have been more disappointing. This is actually a bad toupee that just sits on top of my hair.
What I had to do was make use of that. So
you have those pajamas now, don't you? Didn't you take those?
I did take the pajamas.
Yeah.
And they expanded. And I began to... And within about 6 months,
had them cleaned.
I formed the Blaine Community Players. I got to tell you, we are very, very excited about the big show.
This is the first time I
festival.
Work with Mr.
Right
Hitchcock,
now,
Mike Hitchcock, who also has this uncanny ability to look like a normal person, but couldn't be more odd.
Audition any other time, so that's show business is what he told me, and...
he probably is somewhat of a normal person, I think.
President McKinley did a whistle tour back in 1898, and a little boy, Jimmy McBean, made a stool for him. And he loved it so much that he called back and said, look, I would like to give more of these.
I think Don had the toughest role in this movie, actually, because he had to get
Mr. Exposition,
all the Blaine Fabian exposition out and do it in about 7 seconds.
That's how we got the stool boom. Blaine became the stool capital of the world.
We were going to paint that on a big water tower in the town. But and, of course, the town said, no, you're not writing Stool Capital of the World. I don't care what movie this is.
Whole idea of in your face,
this is actually not a bad idea to do this as a live play. Someone should think about launching big feature films as plays. You know, Gladiator.
The musical.
Das Boot. Mm-hmm. Because you need material, and that's where you go. You don't go to a playwright. You go to the films.
Right on the end of your nose, and you kind of make that little face. That's not a
backdraft. A musical.
The sense memory of that. So during the show, I had someone burn newspapers and send it through the vents in the theater. Well,
in the initial edit, when you cut this thing for the first time, you had literally cut yourself out of the movie.
That's true. I was editing this film.
I looked
film.
At the first cut. There was no Corky in the movie. I said, Chris.
Well, I was in London. I was cutting this in London, and I was there for, I think, 4 months. And I became,
my mom used to say that Blaine is a...
How shall I say in America? Not interested anymore, I guess. And Karen Murphy, the producer, came over to London, and I showed her a rough cut. She said, you're not in the movie. I said, well, She said, well, you might want to try to put some of it back in.
Some people find it ironical.
You thought your little runs were a little too insane and maybe not necessarily grounded. And, of course, everybody said, well, you know what? Let's put them all back in. How about that?
Well, I went to Jefferson City once. It was
We had an idea for this. Do you remember... when we were introducing Fred Willard's character, we were going to show a clip which looked like a home movie of him running hurdles, and all the hurdles were being knocked down.
I've been working here at the DMV
prior to his penis reduction surgery. And it was shot from the back, and you just see a guy on a high school track running, and all the hurdles are being knocked down.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm. Just do the cones, make some and...
This was Parker's first day. And she had she'd never done anything like this, to my knowledge. And I said, just take your time. Don't be afraid to wait and to think about what you want to say. And she isn't afraid.
It was the first sighting of a UFO in the United States, and that bull roar. We had the first sighting here in 1946.
There were a lot of interviews with UFO.
They stopped.
The people in this film that we didn't use. There must have been another eight interviews of people who saw the UFO. This is David Cross in a field outside of Austin.
And the diameter changed by a few inches, yet the radius remains the same. Which brings me back to the number 5. There are 5 letters in the name.
Now, who actually burned out that circle?
Makes the word Blaine up.
I don't know.
Around. Eventually, you'll get Nibali. Nibali, the name of the planet in a galaxy way, way, way far away. I'll tell you another thing. Once you step inside this circle, the weather never changes. It is always 67 degrees. With a 40% chance of rain, always.
Here we go. I love to make people laugh, and I've been doing it since, school. People ask me, were you must have been the class clown. And I say, no, I wasn't.
The day I found those glasses was one of the happiest days of my life.
How do you think I felt? Because in order of appearance, you come up with an idea for a movie, and step two is Gene finding glasses that he feels comfortable wearing. And those were...
Jumping up and kicking your heels kind of...
Chaim Perlgut, who was very, very big in the Yiddish theater back in New York. He was in the sardonically irreverent Dibbik Schmibbik, I Said More Ham. And that review, I believe, was 1914, and that review is what made him famous. Incidentally, the song Bobby Made a Kishka came from that review. My father, bless him, brought me into the business. This was his dental practice before. And I joke with my wife that, you know, at that point...
I kind of looked 18 in that picture.
Yeah, almost.
Rolling in, you know. Brave making...
This is one of the first things that made us laugh when we started to write this, the idea of people... The Pat McCormick jokes that he used to write for Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And then Johnny Carson basically doing Gleason.
Yeah.
And that this guy clearly not knowing where that came from.
Yes. Brave. More. I kept saying, okay, there's four people who are going to get this out there.
To be kissed. I can't stop for that lightning. Oh, it's cracking again.
Some of these are locals that we found down here. And, I was just amazed that, and this is this guy.
Well, that's an act.
I'm going to do a scene from the movie Raging Bull.
Mm-hmm.
You fucked my wife? What? You fucked my wife? How can you ask me a question like that? How can you ask me? I'm your brother, and you ask me that? Where do you get the balls big enough to ask me that?
Basically, for the last 15 years, I have been the music teacher at...
Now, the great thing about the audition sequence here was that, you know, when we were all working up our own auditions, thinking up what we were going to do, the premise may have been discussed with you, but that's about all you knew.
Yes, I gave you, for instance, the song to work out, and I said, you can work this out however you want to, and I gave Catherine and Fred the song.
Yeah.
I gave Parker a song, and I said, you work out the arrangement. And this is what you're seeing is the first time I ever saw this.
And it's the first time we ever did it.
First time you ever did it.
Performing in front of the camera. So in essence, it was more than an audition. It was, you know, we didn't know that the piece we'd worked up, whether it was going to work, whether it was going to be funny.
Yeah.
And not only that, we were actually doing it in front of a camera. So, you know.
And it's basically, it is live.
Dr. Pearl! How are you, Ron Alberson?
Yes, Ron.
My wife, Sheila, you remember her from previous bills?
Yeah.
Fred goes on a little run here.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing here?
I'm here.
Shocking, huh?
You know, trying out for the big show.
Oh, congratulations!
Yeah, who are you here, really?
I told my wife I'd come out for this show I thought I'd give it a shot, yes.
Oh. Give it your best shot, which won't be the first shot you ever gave. Hope it doesn't leave Porky numb like most of them. It's like pulling teeth to get a discount from him. Hey, why don't you give some caramels to the little girl? Future customers and all.
Boy, six in a row there.
Yep. Goes into second standing up. And then this idea.
Whoa!
Mm-hmm. Some of these songs had to be public domain because we couldn't afford to pay for... in a regular movie, you can pay a lot of money for music, but we didn't have any money, so we... this is a public domain.
You make the best out of it.
Yeah.
Tried to do justice to Stephen Foster.
You were sweating during this.
Well, as I said, this was the audition of the piece. I'd never performed it before.
Yeah.
Camptown racers sing this song. Do da, do da. Camptown racetrack.
Yeah, swing it.
Oh, do da day. Wind run all night. Wind run all day. Bet my money on the bobtail neck. Somebody bet on the
modulation.
Bay, bay, bay. Way down upon the Swanee River.
River.
Floating like a vapor on the soft summer air.
Now, this was shot in Lockhart.
Yes.
Texas, and actually seeing this now is that all these memories of Lockhart are flooding back.
Yes, this is the Waiting for Guffman. This is the film that you and I wrote, and you're the dentist in this. That's correct.
True, but I just remembered that they shot it in Lockhart.
Yeah, because I think I mentioned that
doesn't look like a studio there.
No. I think I mentioned actually right off the top. I don't know if you were listening.
No, I came in late.
Okay.
Ding dong.
Oh, I wonder who knows I'm vacationing here at the Oasis.
The basis for this was those coffee commercials that were on TV, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, where they made them almost as if they were little scenes. And I talked to Catherine about that, and then they, I recommended this song, and then they came up with this. And this is the first indication you get from between Bob Balaban and me that we have different tastes and who's going to get into the show.
When you're by my side, and you won't need a camel. No, when I take you for a ride.
We'll need some coffee to go with that ride.
Now, our accompanist there was also a local
Gene.
Lockhart.
Gene was the...
What time is it?
What time is
the piano player for the production, and she was a local, and great to work with.
Oh. Thank you. Good. That was great.
Thank you.
Really good.
Well, thanks a lot. And thanks for coming.
Leave the, great. No, why don't you just put that back there?
Strike it?
Yeah.
We've done a few shows for Corky before,
thank
so we know all
so
the terms
much.
Already
thank
going
you.
In. Thanks so much. It
thank
was
you.
Really fun. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. I'm feeling good about where we stand now with our cast. I think that the elements, as Dr. Watson said to...
This is another one of these days where I was,
together,
again, alone.
I'm very excited about...
Well, look what you're wearing.
I was alone, talking to the camera.
Blaine, Alan Pearl.
Which became very surreal after a while. I think a lot of the crew didn't know what was going on because there was no script. A couple of people kept asking me if there was going to be a script that they hadn't seen, as if there had been a mistake in the distribution of the script. There is no script. I said, no, this is just it. And they said, so you're just going to keep talking. I said, yeah.
About pantyhose.
And I think it's odd working on your own. You know, I put myself in this position again and again, but it's
like a Hitchcock movie where you know you're thrown into a rubber bag and put in the trunk of a car.
Created quite an amazing character here for somebody with limited talent. You really went a lot farther than anybody thought you would. This is a classic character, Corky. You know, the guy that failed.
And I got Bonnie a one
on Broadway and failed his way down the New York ladder.
Well, but you have to like these people.
Yeah, well, of course, he's very likable.
This is Paul Dooley, an old friend, and
the guy that to take me
ex Second City actor, just
to examine me, I guess he
terrifically funny guy. And this is, I think, one of the only UFO interviews that's in the film now.
Being probed, and at one time or another, this. Different ones of them come in, four, five, six of them at different times, and all of them probed me. Not all at once, you know, individually. Later on, years later, now even still, it's a funny thing. It happened on a Sunday, and every Sunday, about the time that I was taking
this was
on...
This was in front of a house in Lockhart where, in the window, you could actually buy ice cream out of the window of this house.
Casting a show is really...
I don't think I've ever seen before. You rarely see it in New York.
There's also the whole design concept. What fabric...
And this was a loft that they found that looked over the town square where we...
A wrestling match, I guess, between me and the muse of theater. And
yeah, this scene was just... This is it. Here we go.
I put on these jeans, and I said, these are huge. I could wear these backwards, and I am wearing them backwards. And,
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like you to try something, all right? Now, what are you thinking? What are you feeling right now with your eyes closed?
Killed me, that move.
I feel a you're blowing in my ear.
Okay, all right.
In fact, there's a rehearsal scene that comes up soon where Corky tries to teach us that move that we just saw in the apartment. And I was laughing so hard, I actually worked my way to the back of the group, fell to my knees, and crawled off the set. So that, because the problem with laughing on camera, of course, is because, you know, when these things are being kind of improvised, you don't want to ruin something that everybody's working so hard to kind of create because you find it funny and you laugh instead of the audience laughing. So the easiest thing to do is just to slink off the set and hope the scene continued.
People with babies. Well, the exercises all mean something, even if you don't know what.
I think that I run into people all the time that come from the Midwest, and they say this is that they had this same experience in doing community theater. And when I started in the theater and much younger, there seemed to be a similar experience to be had, whatever that means. This is my favorite.
Yeah,
he's
not saying a word.
Yeah, he's explaining the joke.
I'm walking on air. You know, this is a sensation which is...
This is where I think when we were writing this, you remember how important it was that these people began to take this seriously at this point and invest themselves in the show.
Then I thought...
You know, even before we started writing the basic scenes, just that idea that this had to be, for them, this had to be the biggest thing in their lives, and to hopefully justify the end.
Ron is going to help everyone act, because I know Ron gives me, in all the productions we've done.
Yeah, well, Ron and Sheila, you know, would this is what they would do this. They would leave their business and do this professionally and at the drop of a hat, and they both think they have the ability to change my instincts, or at least, you know, to do it. And you know, Dr. Pearl is,
you
know, for a guy who is the hit of his parties,
anniversary of Blaine, and I know you're an old Blainian.
He would want the same thing.
And you're really right for one of the parts. It's the narrator in the show.
One of the actor parts?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I've
heard... I think you're being modest.
At one point in the scene, we had a clip. Do you remember a clip where he was an extra in a film? He shows it to Corky. It's a piece of footage that he shows on that TV of him being an extra in a movie that came to Blaine to shoot 25 years before. Do you remember that? And it was a scene where he kept repeating it. You just saw people walking in a street.
You just saw their feet.
You just saw their feet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm a hard worker.
And he kept saying, that's me. And he would rewind it and point out that those are his feet.
You don't recall the name of that film, do you?
No, do you?
Not at the moment, but
it'll come to you after we finish doing this commentary.
Yeah. Oh yeah, much later.
Call me later.
I'll call you tomorrow.
Yeah,
I know this comes out of left field, but I'm looking for another actor, right. And I was wondering if you had any interest in participating in the show. Does that appeal to you in any way?
I'm not much of an actor. I'm sorry.
No, I mean I've
never done that.
Matt Kiesler, the young guy here.
Okay,
was one of the few people in the movie who had no background in improvisation. He was just terrified. Brian Doyle Murray walking up here is an old friend. We've worked together a lot. And Matt felt somewhat
Claire. He's a drama guy.
Alone here, I think.
At 8 o'clock, you're off, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm not much of an actor, singer.
Well, you know what? That's what Charles Lawton said, you know, and look what happened.
Did you change the fan belt on that blue Chevy?
No, I haven't done that yet.
When you get done here, we got it.
Yeah.
So, how tall are you?
6'2".
Really?
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, love that moment. Mm.
When we say nothing ever happens in Blaine, could we try you two singing Blaine?
These rehearsals also were somewhat rehearsals because we had never really gone over the songs that much. The music was written by me, Harry Shearer, and Michael McKean, and
you sing It's All the Say.
As well as the most of the words, and these became real rehearsals for the show.
Because it must seem like,
if you remember,
a new world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we did record the songs.
We recorded the songs just before we shot.
Just before we shot the show.
I have
yes.
a private number. It's not listed.
Yes.
So don't lose it. And do not give it out to anyone.
How rich I could not tell.
There's a library in Lockhart.
Pinching your shirt. I want you to see. Hook in those thumbs. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's right.
How rich I could not tell.
See what's happening with your voice already? Because it's almost as if like you're squeezing
pushing
boobies out, and it's going to be going out into that audience.
Pushing
right?
it right up.
Yeah, see?
Well, that's, I could try it out.
Right.
How rich I could not tell.
Yep. It's the definition of failing up.
This was shot in a car dealership in the middle of Lockhart.
There's the move right there.
Yep.
That's it.
And we asked them if we could rehearse in here. I guess it's not really clear. It's not clear where we are here, but that was...
Notice I'm in the back.
Yeah. Sure.
By the pool, in the stool, by the fire, you...
So this actually all worked. The idea that we were kind of under-rehearsed by the time we got to the show. Didn't really have enough time to work on the dancing or the singing.
Bob was limping in this scene.
He hurt his foot. He broke his foot. He broken his foot. Which also happened, by the way, in Best in Show. He broke his foot for the film.
I don't want to interfere, but I think it would be... I think we have to work...
This is one of my favorite scenes in the movie. This is such a great scene.
But I don't want to make trouble. So
it's so intense.
I don't really want to do this in front of them.
I've known Bob for 28 years, I think, and to look in his face, it's amazing to me how much concentration, how much focus he has, and how much the opposite he is in this film of the character I was doing, obviously.
Talk louder. Because I think that
well, now
it would
it's
be
too loud. You know,
boom.
Talk like a normal person, okay? Mm. I think
impossible to make him crack.
You rehearse.
Pretty impossible. You know, I think Fred got him a couple of times, but
then you forget about it.
Job. Let me pinpoint you. You said they learn it, they forget it, and that's okay.
That's great.
Well, they've forgotten it,
but they never learned it. So when do they learn it? I'm just saying, when do we have
it? But what I'm saying is, if they're going to forget it anyway, then what difference does it make? I mean, you see what I mean? It's just like, it's like one of those, it's a Zen thing. It's like, you know, how many babies, you know, fit in the tire thing, the old joke, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, you have a point. It's an interesting point.
And how'd you find mm-hmm. the point?
Do you remember that this was an afterthought, this scene? We
coming here for many years.
Thought about this. I think while we were down there, we thought that we had to get these people from different parts of the town together somehow to explore this idea of the...
we have friends...
Not only the idea of the penis reduction surgery, but also of the anti-Semitism and the drinking versus the not drinking. And this was an afterthought. Catherine, I mean, this is the best drinking scene I've ever seen. She's just astonishing.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. We got some good packages. Incidentally, if you ever want to get down to Miami Beach, we got a great package, a week, 2 weeks.
This was a tough scene to get through, actually. It was...
Any kind of food in Blaine, you don't...
It was a scene you could appreciate how funny it was, and yeah, it was, you know what I mean? It was really, it was hard to hang with.
Well, this is the first scene I cut in London. I showed it to some people, and it's right on the edge of being uncomfortable.
I'm talking about going to Miami. That's the only thing.
We're talking about Miami.
Dear, why don't you put some food on your stomach before you have any wine?
What's it?
Shh.
Girl talk. What's it like to be with a circumcised man? I'd ask you more about that, but Ron said the whole Jew thing's fine. Because when Ron had his surgery...
All right.
When Ron had his surgery, I said, hey, circumcise it while you're at it.
It was a concept, though, wasn't it? Penis reduction surgery for Mr. Albertson.
A little minor corrective surgery. Can we have some coffee at this table, please?
You very rarely see that ad in the sports section.
Well, maybe, you know, we should change.
No.
You see the add-on. I have. You don't see the takeaway that much.
Most guys would dream of, you know, I had to have a penis reduction surgery.
I'm sorry?
Penis reduction. Which there aren't many. You're going to say I never heard of that because there haven't been many cases.
Oh, yeah. I said, Ron, do something. And he said, why don't you get one of those vagina enlargements?
Oh, dear, can we have some coffee over here? Have you tried the egg rolls? Unbelievable. Let me ask you something. You're
oh, she's dead, Catherine.
I want to ask you something. If you
here we go.
Oh, for heaven's sake! No,
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 please! I
don't
want
to have to do that,
doctor. Please.
Medicine man, not go near dances with Stumpy. No.
Everybody. Have a little
well, it's always good for a button.
I wasn't going to tell you. I sent out 10 letters to different producers.
That pretty much unfolded the way it. It is in the film.
Dear Mr. St. Clair, in response to your letter, re Blaine, Missouri's 150th anniversary and the debut of your original musical, Red, White, and Blaine, the Oppenheimer Organization is delighted to inform you that it will be sending a representative, Mr. Mort Guffman, to view the production and enlighten us with his comments.
How about that?
We thank you for the invitation, and it says, best regards, Samuel Oppenheimer, Jr.
Wow. What does this mean, Corky?
What it means is we may be going to Broadway.
My aunt, I brought out her atlas that I look at a lot.
This is
big blue book.
Amazing to see shots like that of this town, which we didn't have to do, and we didn't have to do anything to these interiors. We'd walk in there, and these little storefronts that look like this.
Different ideas, and I can't...
Well, how about the festival that came up later in the...
Yeah, it was all just a perfect backdrop for the town.
I like to maybe meet some guys and... Italian guys or, you know, watch TV and stuff.
I'm going to be glad to do the show on Broadway, and there'll probably be other offers, keeping our fingers crossed, but I don't know if the theater and the...
We had a whole scene, which didn't show up in the final film, of you talking with your wife about where you would live in New York. You'd assume they were going to move to New York to do the show, and you were talking about the East Side. Should you live on the West Side?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And
hear about anyone but you.
And then you got in an argument with her, and she did a list of the pros and cons of living in New York.
I think back there, there's always the German.
And it was a big fight. It was actually a very odd kind of psychodrama scene.
You know, I want to try that less.
Yeah, it was.
Where you just when you're talking to someone.
It was kind of heavy, but the concept of these people actually, the thought of moving to New York and what it means to uproot yourself from this town.
And then you look back at the person, but you never really
go to New York. Was actually. You know, when we were doing the scenes, it actually felt real.
And how big? They don't know the New York thing. They haven't been through it, and I have. You know,
this look alone could keep you out of a lot of pictures.
Going to the Big Apple for the first time, you know, is
this was done actually after we shot the principal photography. This was done. After I had a somewhat of a cut
with a dance belt and a tube of chapstick,
we did about 3 days of shooting, and this was one of the additional scenes.
Basically, being slammed.
You were out of the country.
Years, you know, off.
No, no, you were there.
I was right there.
You were there.
That's like, must have made a strong impression.
Well.
Is that going to happen again? I don't know.
Well, I remember saying to you, keep an eye on this. Just tell me how you think this is going. And I didn't see you for the next 2 hours. You went to eat.
Well, the food came in.
Bigger than anyone in this town has ever known. And if I am to get back to New York City...
Amazing thing is you can't tell I'm reading the cue cards. That's if I'm proud of anything in this, that's what's incredible.
Well, it's what Saturday Night Live taught you.
Yeah, but you know you can normally see something in the eyes, but
smelling show. What I need.
We couldn't afford a crane for those high shots of the town, so we had to rent one of these cherry pickers that they use to change lights. Light for the lights of the town, and they sway. So if you see these shots, it's very rare that they are because it was windy all the time there, and we couldn't afford
something I did not know that.
Well, no,
I didn't know that.
Ooh.
I thought you were on top of another building or something.
No, couldn't afford it. Couldn't even afford to get on another building.
What I need is $100,000.
Oh, brother.
This was actually sad. I felt very, very sad about this whole response. Here's a good item right behind Larry Miller's the City of Blaine plaque. That would be a good item to have. Where'd that end up?
Yeah, where did that end up?
Corky, our entire budget for the entire year is $15,000 for everything, and that includes swimming. Well, I don't have any swimming in my show. I mean the pool. We have to keep up the pool. That's look, everything. The entire year is $15,000.
We have a manager.
$100,000? Look, you're nice from all. Well, glad you're here. But if I may be blunt, what's wrong with you?
So what I'm understanding here, correct me if I'm
now wrong, you can see that's a toupee.
Not giving me.
Thank you.
So now I'm left basically with nothing. I'm left with zero, which what can I do with zero? You know, what can I can't do anything with it. I need to, this is my life here we're talking about. We're not just talking about, you know, something else. We're talking about my life, you know, and it's forcing me to do something I don't want to do, to leave, to go out and just leave and go home and say, make a clean cut here and say, no way, Corky, you're not putting up with these people, and I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people. That's what you are. You're just bastard people, and I'm going home, and I'm gonna bite my pillow. It's what I'm going to do.
Beauty. Here. Beautiful.
Bastard people. And ass faces, I think, were the two biggest phrases that came out of this movie.
Libby, I have an announcement.
Hi.
I have to talk to you.
Have I told you
I'm
about
gonna
who
have
you?
To talk. Excuse me, Libby. I have to talk to you.
All right.
You.
Okay.
I'm round
okay.
Us
hold
up.
On. Hold yeah. On. Yeah.
Ron.
Just talk about
yeah, Dr. Pearl.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We have an announcement.
Okay.
We have to talk.
All right.
Okay. Okay. There. Okay. So everybody gather around, please. Gather around. Libby, Sheila, excuse me, Ron. Thank you. Dr. Pearl, please be quiet. I have an announcement. We've got to listen up here.
Excuse me. Okay? Are we going to be vocalizing?
We will
before
be vocalizing.
Before we start, I'd like to clear my throat.
Good. Yes, we'll be vocalizing. We'll be doing a lot of... Excuse me, please. Everybody, let's be serious now, just for a moment. And let's all listen up, okay? Corky has left the show, and I am taking over. And what I want to do today... You start with some music. Dance,
there was a scene.
Work on our lives. At the end of 5 days, we will.
That never made the movie. I believe that came in after the
hospital scene,
which was a hospital scene.
Yes, it was Corky in the hospital having had a nervous breakdown, and the cast come to visit.
Corky.
And the doctor says that he chose to be on have an IV, basically.
He didn't need it.
No, didn't need it. Just wanted to have it.
Is he not answering?
Corky, we love you!
We had a big argument about this. Do you remember this whole idea about... I think I felt odd that we would see me in here, because how would the camera get in here? Remember that? You may have been gone at that point.
Well, this was, again, one of the... the 3 days of after shooting, I believe, wasn't it? The bubble bath?
Oh, the bubble bath was. Yes. But, I mean, the premise was always there. The idea that we'd talked about possibly doing that.
Guess I could just go back to the Dairy Queen, you know. They said they'd take me back. I always have a place at the Dairy Queen.
Train whistle.
You gotta stop crying. She hasn't cried this much since the day we got married, honestly. You know, this is wonderful. Why didn't I react like this when I was playing football for the Blaine Panthers and our quarterback went down with a dislocated knee? I should just...
You're strong,
time
Rod!
Out.
You're strong! You're just a big brick!
Let's delay the game and my lip would tremble and I said, we have an injured quarterback. Let's give up. No, you know what we did? We brought in the second string quarterback. When he went down, we brought in the third string quarterback and we went out and we whipped the pants off of Harry Truman High School and next week went out and mopped the floor with Blessed Heart of Mary and they went on to win the state championship.
To tell you the truth,
the good news was you didn't have to.
I didn't have to practice.
No.
For that, which was good.
That was. Didn't have to work at that.
No, that's very healthy. It's about the extent of my.
How long you were on the tour for a short period of time?
Sports ability. There, I'm not. No. Now I think Fred, for example, always has either a baseball run or a football run. I think he. Was heavily into athletics when he was a little younger.
I mean, I think these creative people, they're real emotional, and
I always hated the locker room.
Thing about showbiz people is that you gotta have another
the towel snapping or the
No. It was just it was a whole thing. It was
so that's the reaction when I bought you that cup for Christmas. You had a weird look on your face. What am I supposed to do with this? Where am I supposed to put this?
No, I just thought it was an odd gift coming from you. That was. Was the reaction, but it's in my drawer.
This
celebration, there's no blame.
Was also shot after.
You know how dominoes.
The fact.
Without Blaine, I got news for you. There's no Missouri. Blaine is the heart of Missouri.
Wasn't it? Yeah. This was shot after we did most of the film.
We need the magic back in the show. Yeah. As well.
Yes, which is Corky. You know that transition of Corky coming back to.
Right.
Shops
at Walmart. He doesn't even support the town.
Right.
The person who needs you the most is Blaine Fabian.
Hmm? Here, here.
And I'm not just saying that because I am a fan.
Okay.
I'm saying that because I just know that nobody can touch that whole thing.
Here goes Larry.
That whole thing. Hmm?
You could take a nickel and you could make it into $1 million because this man is a genius and we cannot lose that. Look what you did with Barefoot when you came to this town. Did you have any budget then? You didn't have $100,000 then and look what happened to that show.
Great show.
And what about Backdraft? You took a little bit of cellophane and you made it into flames.
You can still feel the heat. You know what? You're not wrong.
We need you to take your magic wand and wave it and make this town special again. That's what we need. Will you do it?
Come on back, Cork.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that was C.J. Vanston back in the band.
Yeah, C.J. Vanston arranged all the music and...
Thank you. Okay.
Tremendously gifted musician, and the other musicians he got from local area. Some played in the symphony orchestra, and CJ did all the arrangements.
In a funny way, what the city council did was really
now there was a fair degree of choreography in this, and that was there was a solid week of. Choreography.
Solid 4 days. Yeah.
A solid 4 days of choreography rehearsals for this thing, and it was, you know,
it was just the right amount because when we eventually did the show, it was at the level it should have been, under rehearsed. And if you watch carefully, there are many things growing up because they were legitimately not known. I couldn't remember any of these steps. Originally, Balaban was going to be the piano player, and we sent him some of the music. He said, I can't play this. I said, ah, so you'll be the conductor.
I did want to mention...
We weren't going to have a separate piano.
Specs? 1845, you know, I think...
So basically, after this scene...
My glasses...
What we have to look forward to now is in any film that we're doing is just another way to make this happen.
In the show?
It's mostly in covered wagons because
yeah.
I think that that's the one.
Well, the idea
it's just not
of the when you get lazy off, eye was, again, one of the, I think, the first things in the writing session that actually got us both on the floor. That was it was a very, very heavy laugh.
Yep.
And I don't see very well. Got up and said, well, we can't actually do this. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to cross my eyes on a big screen. I didn't get this far. Just to, you know, start to...
Well, guess what?
There we go.
Eye, which these prescription glasses help correct.
And when you came out in the show, there was about a 20-minute... I said, look... I can't look at you. I'm not going to be able to look at you when you're doing this thing as Blaine Fabian, so I'm going to just look way upstage, if that's okay. Don't take it personally. This was a real festival, as you mentioned, that was happening in the town that we shot.
Getting off the horse is not a problem. I can get off the horse like that, but where I'm having a problem is sometimes the horse comes out, and I can't get past the cow. So I have to kind of, you know, do this when I come out. Gather round, for I have news.
I don't know which is more lifelike, the horse or Dr. Pearl.
There was also, that reminded me, there was a running thing that we had that we didn't, where you two were,
well,
eventually
Fred,
got into this fight.
Yeah, Fred,
because
he was
needling you.
Through the whole movie, he keeps coming out with these dentist jokes and keeps needling me.
Right.
And there was a scene where I really lost it.
Yep.
And people had to hold me back. I was,
I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I understand.
Not in the movie.
I do understand. What you can do is just say, absolutely not. Do you understand that? I don't believe that. No, I'm sorry. I do not accept that. That is not an answer. No.
Yeah.
It's absolutely unacceptable that you would say this now. Not today. No. And that's the way it is? Then I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
There it is. I hate your ass face.
Well, that's on a lot of greeting cards now, and I don't get a dime. You know what?
Dad said he had to work. He's not in the show.
What does he think this is, school? That he can be marked absent one day?
This is the day of the show.
Oh, my God.
This
is very strange.
Ron, just let me think for a second, all right? I've just got
to
take a breath here and try to figure this out, all right?
Mm-hmm. Funny premise. Premise that Corky has to take over the role of the young ingenue.
You know, he's a different Miriam type Flynn. Type
than you, Ron. I'm worried because this won't. I'm about 5 inches away.
I understand.
Actors, we're at 15 minutes. We're at 15.
No. We gotta move now. Come on. You're gonna have to help me here. You gotta help me here.
Okay.
We put out word for people to come to see this, to be in the audience, and. We could, in a big budget movie, they pay people. Of course, we didn't have much money, so I think they had some kind of contest to get people into the theater. I think we ended up getting 40 people, and they were giving away, I think, chewing tobacco or Fleet enema or something. I didn't know it. No, couldn't get them in there.
Sundays, I couldn't let the scene.
Well, it just added to the charm.
No, it is not. Hello, sweetheart.
Agnes.
Now, like the auditions,
this was scary.
Yeah, getting up to actually do these numbers with the crowd there.
Well, for the 40 people, yeah. Definitely frightening.
And the cameras. It was, yes. It was no question it yes. was like opening
no,
night.
Well, for, I don't know about you. I didn't know any of the steps. That didn't make me feel more secure because I was doing other things. I didn't have time to rehearse. This whole idea came started when I went to see a junior high school production of Annie Get Your Gun, and I was just drawn to the idea that how earnest everyone was, how devoted they were to do the best performance they could, albeit on the level that they were working at. And there's something charming about the expenditure of energy and to watch these amateurs.
Yeah, and it was important in the initial kind of creation of the storyline that, you know, the audience would have to, in order for this film to be anywhere near as successful as we hoped it would be, that they have to have an emotional investment in the characters.
Yep.
They have to be, they have to like the characters that they're seeing, and they have to hope that this show does well for the characters. Mm-hmm. You know, they really have to be pulling for the characters. Otherwise, you know, the whole third act in the movie was in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Not here!
Okay, load the curtain. Everybody, look, I've...
And most of us have, in the movie, had done some sort of small time theater. If it wasn't small town, it was small time theater, beginning with amateur theater, whether it was in high school or college. And so there is something that we could all draw on in terms of our experience. And yet, when we came out to perform this, it really was... you'd be as nervous as you were doing a Broadway show in some ways. C.J. Vanston playing the trumpet and the drum at the same time.
This overture really set a great tone mm-hmm. For the entire third act.
Oh, howdy. Didn't see you sneak up on me there. But if you'd like, you're welcome to share my campfire with me. I was just fixing to get me some grub. Beans. I love beans. Big, fat, hot, juicy beans. Now, don't get me going.
Interesting set design on these pieces for the show as well, considering, you know, that it's supposed to be a very small... Mm-hmm. low-budget deal, and yet, you know, it has to kind of at least jump for the camera.
Yeah, Joe Garrity had a background, the production designer in theater, had exactly the perfect notion of how to do this, and it's something that they would have been able to do. It just has a... It really hit it on the head.
Well, we've traveled long and far today. We must let the women and children rest.
And I think writing the book for this was one of the most fun parts, the idea that of creating this dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is the only dialogue in the movie that isn't improvised.
Right, this stuff for the show, all the book for this show, Red, White, and Blaine, was scripted. And I wish I could say it took a long time to write it, but I...
Well, it took a long time to edit it. I sat with Andy Blumenthal for a year and a half cutting this film, so it equals out.
If we get to California.
Oh, we'll get there.
Now, I picked I picked the cheapest beard to go with Blaine Faben here,
mm-hmm.
And the whole lazy eye thing had its mm-hmm. big payoff for me when I could use black eyeliner, mm-hmm. put this beard on, sure. and actually look like Ben Turpin.
I like the back of the horse hasn't been finished. You only see the...
What news? What did your keen and perceptive eyes behold?
Here we go. Boom.
Boy, oh, okay, that's where you need the timpani.
Yeah, Jim Turpin.
Oh, hi, Ridge. I could not tell.
for the sonnet.
Yeah, this was hard.
That
to
was a moment too in the in one of the taping sessions. Again, when the, for the first time when I did this without, you know, glasses and actually did the eye thing for
taping. What
for
is
the,
this
for the?
Well, it's Mike Douglas show all the time. It's a film, Gene.
Was it film?
Yeah.
Again, I can't remember.
This was a motion picture.
I didn't know. I got there on the third day.
I
didn't know what the setup
was. It's easy to.
But Fred's line, "What did your keen and perceptive eyes behold?" He'd never seen me without the glasses and with the crossed eye before. So when I actually looked at him after that line, he finally got why that line was funny, and he he was gone for about 10 minutes.
Yep. Well, it's hard to. No, I couldn't look at you at all.
This is true. When you came out, you were looking past me.
You never
looked right at me.
10 feet away. No, couldn't be done. No, and then there are parts of this that were we couldn't make eye contact with each other for various reasons.
Well, you were worried about not knowing choreography, but try doing this stuff with your eyes crossed.
Right. This we actually believed that we were doing a theater experience in a small town, and that they actually liked it.
Yeah.
Completely deluded.
Yeah.
New family was moving in.
Oh, I am trying to hurry. There we go. You got my
hat? There's this sense in amateur theater of absolute panic all the time backstage, which we were trying to get. They never get used to it. And that's one of the fun things about doing the scenes backstage. They're more nervous backstage than they are on stage.
Good people of Blaine, they told me my next stop was Wichita. But I said, what about Blaine?
Yay! Oh,
I guess I need a new travel agent.
Mr. President, in honor of our visit, your visit to our town, I present you humbly with this fair key to our city.
Well, I do declare, I believe the key to this city is larger than the city itself.
Oh,
you can't beat acting bad. You really can't. There's just nothing...
Well, nothing's more fun.
...in the world is more fun.
Well, isn't that interesting? I'll take this back to Washington with me, and every time I rest my feet, I'll think of Blaine.
Yay!
Here's the mime experience coming in handy, walking backwards to make it look like the transit.
That's good direction.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to hear what Fred says there. He says, should we start over again? Which, after spending about 6 months in the editing room, we finally heard.
Factories sprouted up like toadstools. Everyone had a good job. Everyone was making a good wage. Blaine was on the map.
This was the first song I wrote for the show. I wrote this with Harry Shearer.
I think for some reason this was the toughest song to get to actually learn the choreography.
Yeah, a lot of words and a lot of stool movement, sure. Yeah, this tested every fiber of my memory, this particular number.
It's
Pack your jewels. Use the money for stools.
Here we go.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You got a video sent to you last Christmas from a family who actually
put on the show.
On videotape, did the mm-hmm. entire show.
Yeah, their family put this show on in their house.
And went through every
number. Went through every single number, yeah. And the grandmother, the grandfather, the parents and the kids played all the different parts. It's a tradition.
Paul Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see the second half. Alan, his dramatic work, I mean, I knew he was funny, and I knew he could, you know, move, dance, because he's that way, but I think his dramatical work is so moving that
Linda's doing, the character she plays is from Wisconsin, and the additional footage we have at the end of the film, you get to hear about her background.
Very catchy.
Now, interesting thing about this particular scene with Don, this was scene was shot when he was originally cast as the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the principal of the high school that
right.
we were rehearsing in.
Yes.
The principal who had a problem with the rehearsals mm-hmm. taking up the basketballs.
Right. And there was a scene where the basketball team comes in while Corky's rehearsing, and we eventually go to the city council. There's a big argument between the mayor, the principal, and the coach.
Right.
Not in the film.
Because a couple years ago, he came in the drugstore, and he tried to steal my stamp machine. And that kid is no good. You could tell just by his parents he's no good. And he would not have added anything to the show. Where Corky, on the other hand, look at him. Did you see? God, I wish I was in the show.
Paul Benedict had this amazing sense of reality during this whole thing. You just completely bought this. So important to believe that was the guy. Oh boy,
this is a scene all young romantics, I think, should see.
Oh yeah.
I also hear that they are experts.
This is that fake mime walking, too, not getting anywhere.
Ema, I'm going to fight for my country. To fight, and yes, perhaps die, so that young men from here to Timbuktu can feel the wind of freedom blowing through their hair.
Omani, I didn't mean to doubt you.
This song I wrote with Michael McKean. I guess out of the context of this film, it's a kind of a sweet song.
A penny for your thoughts, a dime for your dreams. Would a shiny new quarter buy a peek at your schemes? And when you are away...
It wasn't until I saw the very first cut of this movie that you had a sense that of how great the character work was, because you actually, even in that first cut, being as close to it as I was objective enough to see that you know, you really look at this, look at Michael here. Boy, you really cared for the characters. You really cared for them. You were really, really.
I think we hoped that people would root for them.
Yeah.
In the same way that the people in the small town were rooting that this would work.
And done, I have offered a million. I have done it for none. I reckon we're in love. The penny that brought you to me.
There was a dance sequence, and there was a solo in the middle of this that we cut out, where we're just dancing to the music, which was, and there were other numbers in the show, which we had to cut out, because when we first, in the first cut, the show alone ran 40 minutes. So, that wasn't going to work out with a 82-minute movie. And two of those numbers will be seen in the at the end of this. In the extra scenes.
Our brave fighting boys returned from the war. Things got back to normal in Blaine. Until one summer night in 1946, when unexpected visitors put us back on the map. Where are we?
How did we get here?
Don Lake has a great expression. they just completely buy this. It's great.
New feed storage bins.
That ain't no feed storage bin. How did it get here?
It must have flew.
But it don't have any wings.
Then I guess it just dropped from somewhere up there.
Citizens of Blaine, do not be alarmed. We will not harm you. We come in peace from a planet far, far away.
Oh, another little snippet that was cut here that I loved is after the alien
look out
comes out of the spacecraft and walks down the ramp. He then had to turn around, bend over, and mm-hmm. pick up the ramp by hand and mm-hmm. push the thing back in again.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it was time for a change.
And he has the number 11 on his costume, which was a cheap reference to Spinal Tap.
Now again, one of the numbers that actually was cut from the show, which I think, as you said, is coming up later, was the
Blaine. Nothing ever happens in Blaine.
Nothing ever happens in Blaine, which mm-hmm. was the precursor to this
right
song. This was like a reprise to right. that number.
Yep. Boring, boring, boring. And this song itself was longer, in fact. Boring, boring, boring.
Well, the town of Blaine has packed a lot in the last 150 years. We've had our ups, and we've had our downs.
Now, if you noticed in the audience, too, on those wide shots, that as the show goes on, Larry Miller's socks get lower, and his pants get higher.
Determination and pride. Because that, my friends, is America. And nothing says America more to me than Blaine!
There was an alternate ending to this film where Corky ends up with the Hitchcock character, the city councilman, end up living together in a penthouse in New York. Not in the movie.
It was a way to go.
Yeah.
Not the right way.
Hello, how are you?
Hi.
Nice to meet you. And you too.
Well, Waffle Choco Cookie.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
To hear about this at the next mayor's conference.
Thank you so much. Oh. Well, I know we have a lot of work to do. The first act needs
it. Oh, it was magical.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you so much. We've got the first act again. It's just, you know, it's up and down, kind of dipping in and out. And I know that. We just don't have the time, you know, to do everything. So I'm going to ask you point blank. Do we have a shot to go to Broadway?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, Mamma Mia. Oh, that is such good news. Oh, I can't tell you what news that is to me. Would you like to meet the cast?
I'd like that, yeah.
Oh, great. Come on with me, you.
It's amazing actually watching Paul, because for the people who knew what was, you know, about to unfold, it's hard for actors sometimes to downplay that knowledge that they already have, you know. What do you say?
You were just great.
I would. I would say that. That's why they call it acting, I think.
I see. I get it.
Mrs. Ron Albers, I'm Ron Albers. Yeah. A pleasure performing for someone who really understands.
This came a couple hours ago. I'm sorry.
Mrs. Ron Albertson.
You're so pretty.
Clifford Woolley.
Mr. Woolley.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Alan Pearl. you make me laugh.
Oh,
it's a delight to meet you, sir.
Well, I'm sure that Mr. Guffman would like to say a few words to us.
Speech.
I think there's some mistake. My name is Loomis, Roy Loomis. I'm down from Deming. I came down, my niece had her first baby. It's a boy, and that's what the balloon is for. And I just want to tell you how just absolutely wonderful you all were. And thank you, and I'll be seeing you, and bless you. He's going to love this. Oh, boy.
I think we shot, after we finished shooting this, there was another piece of me that we shot at the end here. There was one cut that was from the end, and we had to match this wall.
On the zoom in shot?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, this was later. Yeah.
Snowstorm in New York.
Yeah.
All flights.
I remember why you had to reshoot it?
No.
Mort Guffman.
I thought you'd remember.
No. Once the picture's over, I'm long gone.
Yeah, it was extra.
Now, this.
Remember the original end of the movie? But you remember the original end of the movie was the hurricane, the tornado.
Originally, yes. Originally, in the script outline, they never got to the show.
Right. There was a huge
huge storm came up.
A tornado.
Yeah.
And
good night, everybody.
It destroyed the theater.
B. I have to entertain.
And the camera actually was knocked on its side, and you saw feet running by the camera.
Now, this was my first day of shooting, and this was the not having done this before, not having been involved in Spinal Tap, so this was my first involvement with this kind of improvisatory kind of movie. So I remember going in to you when I get into costume and stuff and said, do you want to... Do you want to go over this? Do you want to kind of rehearse it? No, the camera's ready. We're just, let me know when you're ready and we'll roll.
Mm.
It was a little nerve-wracking that first day. Also, because it was my last scene in the movie, so I had to kind of know where the character was going to end up in terms of how, you know.
It's called acting.
Hmm?
2 hours from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And
5 hours from Vegas.
5 hours from Las Vegas, and we're going to get there one of these days.
As soon as we get a car.
Yeah. We don't have a car yet. Who wants the edge of the pollution?
Yeah.
We consider ourselves bi-coastal if you consider the Mississippi River one of the coasts.
That's one of my favorite lines.
What? Let's go over here.
All right, time to get back to work. That's what they're paying us for. Come on, kid.
Why can't they say Ron? Sheila over this way, please.
Still the same paycheck.
Again, there was an alternate ending shot with Ron and Sheila where they were sitting outside a very sad-looking bungalow in Hollywood.
Yep. I think that's also will be seen in the additional footage.
Is that coming up?
Yes.
Yeah, that was sad.
Quiet, please.
No, there's definitely a discussion at the end of of whether this was all too sad.
Out of prison, which is good.
Which I tend to like.
He was supposed to be in there for 10 years, but I guess since he didn't kill anybody and just ruin some property, that they let him out after 5. So it's, I'm here with my dad, and I've been thinking of ice cream and stuff and what I can do with it. Maybe come up with, we have a blizzard and we have a breeze. We have derbies, and the derbies are really, oh, they've been doing derbies in the chocolate dip for, I think, 20 years or something. I really want to sort of make a healthy, low-fat or non-fat, healthy blizzard.
The first thing I did when I moved,
I thought I had a corner on pauses.
Was to look up Mr. Guffman.
Boy, no, I don't think you,
that one.
No, I don't think you can compete with that. And you hang on every word.
Audition for his new Broadway show, which is a revival of My Fair Lady. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. And the role is of Henry Higgins, the somewhat stern taskmaster.
I wouldn't mind seeing him doing pulling this whole show off. What do you think? I'd pay to see that.
Correctly. And she, of course, is of the Cockney persuasion and drops her H's.
I'd pay to see Corky in just about anything.
Cockney thing of hello, L-R-U. Do you want to go to Hartford? Not live in this, L-O, and that kind of thing. And I think I'm honing in on it pretty close now. And I suppose that the cake and eat it too part of this whole story is that another dream of mine has come true, which is that I've gotten to open this shop where I have all my show business treasures and all my...
Yes, houses. This was a discussion to talk to Andre and Wally about whether we could use their names and their likenesses, and they both fortunately agreed, and then I sent them those two action figures.
You know, where the two guys talk to each other and say, you know, boy, I'm
and they said, okay.
Found a good
they said, okay.
You know, it's so hard these days to get in. You know, who do you know?
Oh, now, this scene originally was in the...
Made a call.
Middle of the movie.
Mm-hmm. And the original conception, I guess, was that this that was the shop that Corky opened in
Blaine.
In Blaine, but right. It just seemed ripe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get, it's very rare, the action figures for Das Boot.
And then there was a discussion with various actors to have their permission to do the
big heads
dolls, and we got that from Andrew McCarthy and
you know, making that noise and sweating.
Who's the other Brad Packer?
Over here, these are my big heads. I call them, starting with Anthony Michael Hall.
There we go.
And on lower left is the
in the background there, there
little figure, which
Charlie Weaver.
Yeah, that's Andrew McCarthy.
Over here, some new lunch boxes we've gotten in. The remains of the day lunch box. And the kids, they're just having such a good time with these. You know, kids don't like eating lunch at school, but if they've got a remains of the day lunch box, they're a whole lot happier.
These caricatures, which reside in my home, it's always been one of my favorite premises of big head people. Just this carnival idea of drawing caricatures. This has always been one of my favorite ideas to have.
I didn't know you drew these.
No, you're misunderstanding. Someone else drew them. Did they take pictures of us, or did he do... I can't remember how this was... Oh, you know what? He looked at pictures of us from the film, and then they had to be approved. This is credits.
Yes, and a wonderful opportunity to hear that fabulous overture again. The music was very strong in this thing. Pieces were really good. You guys did a great job on that.
Would have gone with Roberto Schaefer, did a terrific job, and Joe Garrity, Andy.
Covered Wagons, Open-Toed Shoes, the name of this piece.
Right. Do you remember, we actually talked briefly about doing this show with the cast from the film in a theater as a limited run.
We talked about doing Red, White, and Blaine?
Yeah. But this, imagine doing this just for a week. How much fun that would have been.
Well, I venture to say, and, you know, I'm as professional as they get, don't get me wrong.
Really?
But I have a funny feeling there are a couple of pieces, at least, in the show, per night, that we would never have gotten through.
I think you're right. A lot of people. Well, I guess we can just keep talking to this. Hope they'll cut this out.
No, I don't think they're. I don't think they're going to cut it.
I see.
Wonderful opportunity to see this movie again.
Yes, no, it's been, interesting. I haven't seen it for quite a while. I mean, it's just like it came out in 1951. It's only been a few years, but nice to see. And see some of these names again that I haven't seen. So we've been asked to say goodbye, and Eugene has a little song that he's prepared for this moment.
Bobby made a kishka. She made it big and fat.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's it.
Now,
boy, a lot of
and
people.
As the score goes out and the sun goes down,
thank you for joining us.
We hope you can come again, maybe tomorrow night.
Yo.
Nothing ever happens.
Zero ever happens.
Bupkis ever happens in.
Let's